My name is Troy Clay, and I'm the president and CEO of Manoba Matson, the tribe's non-gaming and for-profit economic development arm.
Great. So the first thing that I wanted to just talk with you about was, I guess, first, how you got in, how you first came across this role. I know that Manoba Matson was formed in 2007, but how did you end up kind of getting involved with it?
Sure, good question. Well, I was tribal treasurer before stepping into this position with Manoba. So as I was ending my role in the spring of 2011, the board of directors was looking for a new leader for the operation. And so I've always been very interested in economic development. I've always known the importance of economic diversification for our tribe. And it was an exciting opportunity, so I jumped on it. And they felt the same, obviously. So they hired me into the position.
Do you remember back then what you, like kind of the pitch meeting, I guess, either they were delivering to you or you were delivering to them?
The real drive was we need to launch. The board had spent a lot of time looking at different opportunities, investment ideas that were coming across their table. But what they really needed at the time was to move beyond that into a solid plan for the future, a clear vision surrounding the mission of Manoba Matson and strategy to turn that into action so we could start bringing results to the table.
And what, in the tribe at that point, what kind of was the state of the economy of the tribe? What sort of ventures had there been before Manoba Matson came in?
Yeah, very good. Well, it had primarily been focused on gaming. So tribes, I don't want to speak in general terms about there's 565 or 6 tribes, federally recognized tribes in the United States. But in general, tribes try to get by on a lot of grants and things like that and using their sovereignty to bring their tribe together really enhance their culture, which is the most important thing about our tribe, is our culture and heritage. It's who we are. And really, we use our economy to bolster that and bolster the lives of our people and improve the quality of life for our families and our kids and everything. Actually, I forgot that. What was the question again?
Oh, so it was just kind of what state of the economy in the tribe and of the
right, right. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's where I was going with it. I went a little too deep on the question.
Don't worry.
So given that history of, trying to use grants and what little the federal government tries to provide the tribes, the tribes really want to become independent. The way any person or community or tribe in this instance really thrives economically is when they take control of their own strengths and they drive forward with a vision for what they want to do to improve their quality of life. And so gaming became a obvious focal point for the tribe initially. So we have a great casino operation, the Four Winds Casino. That is operated under another arm of the tribe. And so that provided some initial experience and business structure for the tribe and financing, banking relationships, as well as cash flow that the tribe needed to start serving its citizens.
Mm-hmm. Was there felt a need in the tribe then to sort of go, well, we've got this operation up and running, yeah, let's try to diversify? Was that sort of the idea?
I think there's always been that feeling, and the tribe, and having been on the tribal council, has never wanted to be known as a gaming tribe. I mean, part of the problem that tribes face, I think, in terms of stigma, is either they're looked at as being dirt poor and non-contributors of society, which is absolutely not true. Tribes have contributed pharmaceuticals, culture, and a variety of other things to society. They're just seldom recognized for it. But on the other hand, tribes are looked at as gaming tribes, and as if that's all they have. And our tribe is much deeper than that. We have a thriving tribal government, cultural activities and department, and a health center, social services, and a variety of other things, housing operation. So when our tribe was looking at next steps, realized that economic diversification was important. In other words, you know, a casino is great and it's providing cash flow, it's providing a business structure and organizational structure to the table for business thinking and acumen, but we also need to diversify and sort of spread our eggs into other baskets. It's a simple concept, really. You know, given the cash flow and the success we have with the casino, what can we do with some of that money to plant seeds for the future generations of our people?
Sure. And I was actually going to ask about, because I read through your guys' presentation, I think, that was as part of an MEDC event or something like that. And I tried to get a sense of the kind of where the cash was coming from. It seemed like it comes from the tribal council.
It does.
Is most of that money that's coming, is that money that basically is coming in from the casino and then will go to you guys?
It does. We do get some grant money, but the bulk of our funding comes from the tribal council as the investors, if you will. We have our own board of directors, and we operate autonomously from the tribal government. We were organized that way to remove politics from business decision making. However, our board of directors is fully accountable to our tribal council for performance, for accountability in terms of how they utilize the dollars and that type of thing. And so the council, under a long-term development plan we put together and annual action plans to implement this long-term plan, and which also includes a set of investment criteria, we go to the council annually for an investment level. And also, for instance, recently, we're working on an acquisition we hope to complete soon that requires our work with the tribal council and their support to put that together. So we have an annual allocation we get from them to implement our annual investment plan. And then we also have intermittent things that could come up, opportunities where we can go back to the council and work with them to get financing and additional funding.
Oh, and is it safe to say that that money is basically profits from the casino that then end up with you guys?
The bulk of that is. So the council utilizes a chunk of that funding for economic development, also as well as money to run its government operations, which gets into a lot of government services. Health, the Pokagon Health Services Department of the tribe provides a significant level of dental, behavior, and physical medical servicing for tribal citizens. I had mentioned social services, housing. The tribe has over 6,000 acres of property in southwest Michigan and northwest Indiana, and I'm kind of getting over into the government side now. But it's important to mention that because it indicates, you know, the tribe is a big player and has a lot going on. And we are as well. You know, we've stepped in and we utilize all the tribe's sovereign capacity to implement our economic development strategy.
So when you first took over and you guys were first sort of shaping business, what were kind of the business plan? What was the plan for what you guys really wanted to do when you first started?
Well, really, what we wanted to do is, frankly, the primary goal is just to get started. You know, you have to pick a point and go at some point, because sometimes it's almost too easy to do at times is to try to spend a lot of time to figure out what you want to do. And so what you find yourself doing is putting a lot of work and trying to plan and figure that out, when at some point you sort of just have to say, you know what, we've really analyzed and thought about this a lot. Let's start stepping forward. So that was really the primary goal, was let's start taking action and moving forward. But really, the work we do and the objective is really around our mission, which is to take advantage of our tribal independence to create businesses for future generations. And so that's our drive. And so that's what we've always wanted to do, and that's what we've been doing. So when you look at companies like 7Gen Architecture Engineering, 7Gen Construction, which we recently started, Accumold, which is here in Portage, Michigan, and we have another acquisition we're working on. I can't get into the details of that till we actually buy the company. And we even have the Bentry gas station, a convenience store in Dowagiac, and we plan to have a chain of gas stations over time. These are all meant to bring this economic diversification in order to have these businesses for our future generations. And this, we're just at the tip of the iceberg. You know, I think if you look at us 5 years or 10 years from now, you're going to see a several million dollar company that will have a number of investments. And I want to make another point, too, in, along these lines, is as we diversify our economy and we make these investments, it doesn't just affect our tribal community. Our tribe is much integrated into our local and regional communities. It also has a big effect on jobs and the economy in the region as well. So that's kind of, you know, how we got started and what the point was with us getting started. And I think the effect that's going to have on our tribe and our neighbors.
Mm-hmm. So how were you able to take those values from the tribe and implement them into a business plan for this? Was that complicated or was it?
Not really, at least not for me, because I'm a tribal citizen and I've been a tribal leader. I've also been the housing director for our tribe. So I've in terms of my role, coming from my perspective, I've been in different positions and as well as being a tribal citizen, so I'm able to do this fairly naturally. But I think when you look at the tribal values, they're no different than anything anybody would want their kids to implement in their lives. Integrity, honesty, trust, love, you know, wisdom, and so forth. We just thought it was natural to build those into all of our companies. Now, with 7Gen, we took a special focus on the seven-generation concept that what we do today should have a positive effect as far as seven generations out. So if every person in the tribe, frankly, if every person in society did this, the impact that would have seven generations out or even on the next generation is significant. So in terms of taking that value and integrating it into the architecture and engineering, we thought that naturally that would be a good brand because it looks at sustainability, not just of the earth, but of the business model. So we look at how we make decisions that have sustainable concepts within the design and architecture field, as well as engineering, site landscaping. But we also take a look at the business model and say, how do we as a tribe use this concept to perpetuate an economic model that works?
Is it tough to balance that, I guess, with short-term profit at the same time? Or is it very easy to...
It can be tough, but we just do our best to strike that balance, you know. Now, we find people in the federal government and state as well as commercial markets to be pretty responsive to it. You know, if you try to brand something and you try to be something that you're not, people read into that. And it may work for a minute and then it'll fail. And I think we see companies and even individuals will experience that. We are just showing who we really are, and we're integrating that into our business. I think that genuine, honest approach comes across in our clients. It comes across in the way we do business. And so our values are so important that people find, I think, that when we work together, that's somebody they want to work with. It's not just lip service. It's not just a brand image. It's not just a game. We are a real player where we honestly want to do this work and we believe in it. And so you're going to get the best out of us, you know, and I think you can't get anything better than that.
So take me through when you go out and look for a business, how do you make sure that that business has those same values at the same time?
Well, we have a set of investment criteria, and we have certain targeted industries that we look at, but we work with a network of banks and people. For instance, Southwest Michigan First, I'm a member of the board of directors on the Southwest Michigan First board. That is a great operation that has had a huge impact on the regional, state, as well as the state economy. And I went to them and we put our investment criteria together and I said, look, here's our criteria. So if you see businesses that we can get into, let us know. And so Tim Tarantine, that works there, started shooting different ideas and stuff our way. And that's how we got Acumold, by the way. Dave Martin, who had owned Acumold, talked to Tim previously, and we were introduced. But we just start looking at businesses and business opportunities, and we look at how that business fits those criteria, and if they do, does it look like a business that can settle into our value system? Now, but again, getting people to buy into those values is not a hard approach. I mean, to go to somebody and say, would you like to work for a company that, when I say love, I mean this, by the way, that loves its employees, that thrives on integrity and honesty and these things. Is that a company you want to work for? I mean, it's you know, unless they don't think you're honest, but we are. If you look at, and what I mean by, you know, but we are, what I mean by that is if you look at the way we operate our casino, the way the tribe has worked with partners, the way it's worked politically, the tribe has always held strong to these beliefs. We are firm in our word. We do what we say. And everybody we work with, I think, is very happy in our success because we like to see them successful as well, whether it's employees, business partners, government entities, and so forth. So, you know, that's just how we do things. So in order, you know, so buying a business that fits our investment criteria and being concerned about it moving into our value set is not a big problem. It just isn't, you know.
And when you go out to a business and sort of make your pitch and say, hey, we're interested in acquiring you or acquiring a piece of your company, what are the advantages that you guys are able to say besides, I guess, just the look at our track record?
Well, we are able to, the primary thing is, I think, is that, look, we're not an equity firm. We're not going to come in, buy you, try to add value, chew you up and spit you out into the equity market. And then all your employees are kind of picking themselves up off the ground, trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives. We look at our investments as long-term investments that we're bringing into the tribe. Is it possible we could sell a company? It is, but that is not our primary focus. We want to bring that company into the tribe, grow it, and make it part of our economic diversification. Let's take Acumold, for instance. Last year, we invested $1 million. After buying the company, we invested $1 million more into that company. Now, $500,000 came from us, the MEDC, Native American Division, Michigan Economic Development Corp, Native American Division, matched that money so we could buy a couple of new machines for that operation. This year, we're investing another $1.5 million plus by buying a new building to grow the company. Right now, the company's kind of busting at the seams where it's at over on Sprinkle Road, and to buy more machineries, increase throughput, make changes to process, do some more training for our employees. So we make active investments into companies because we want them, we want to grow them, we want to create jobs for our people and for our neighbors. So when we go to buy a company, we have that to offer. And there are a lot of people have companies, they have small businesses that they have worked very hard to create. They don't have a son or daughter that wants to run those companies. And so they literally see a company that they're going to retire from or move out of that they put all their sweat and blood into that could just be chewed up and spit out. And so, you know, by the markets, by equity markets and so forth. And we can come in and buy those companies and add our values to it and grow those companies with integrity. And I think that is something that a lot of people like, you know. There's a lot of those companies out there, and unfortunately we can't buy a lot of the companies, but that is what we offer.
The other thing that I'm curious about, too, is when it comes to sort of helping the tribe as well, is there an aim also to be able to bring tribal members into these companies as an employment opportunity, or is that not?
No, there absolutely is. We have a very strong education department in the tribe. If you get a chance, you know, take a look at the website and look at the tribal government operations. It's very extensive, and it is centered around the objective of serving our tribal people. So Sam Morsaw runs the Department of Education, and I've worked with Sam, and actually it's not just Sam and I. The Tribal Council is getting ready to enter into an MOU with Lake Michigan College and maybe some of the other colleges. Right now we do a lot of collaboration with them to do workforce training, apprenticeship program. We work with local trades unions and people to do training to get our people employed. For instance, we just started 7 Gen Construction, so we're going to work with the trades folks on that. to get our people employed in the construction industry for those companies. Acumold, for instance, we're trying to get apprentices and stuff together there. So we work through our Department of Education and local education institutions to make that happen.
So, yeah, and just I have this kind of idea in my head of probably someone who, say, wants to be an engineer, they can, Department of Education can help them there, Lake Michigan College at some point can help them there, and then they could end up
absolutely coming here. We encourage that. You know, that is what this is all about. That's what we're for. Yeah,
that's a really cool system. I didn't realize it was so kind of...
It is. Circle. You can really look at the tribe, because we are, as one big family. And so we serve that family by putting together this economic diversification so that over time, generationally, we have people coming into these jobs. You know, whether it is as an engineer, whether it's in my position or whatever it is in the future, you know, our people have these opportunities. And if it's not them, it's our neighbors. You know, it really is a great system. I know it sounds very positive, because it is, you know.
Yeah, sure. And I'm at, I won't keep talking. I also I read a couple, an article from a couple of years ago about you guys talking about how there was a goal to become self-sufficient at some point soon. How close is that right now? And kind of where does that fit into the whole goal?
Terms of Manoba Matson? We're getting close. Excuse me. With the acquisition we have coming up, it's pushing us in that direction. So when we look at our strategy and we climb up several thousand feet in altitude, we look down and we see that Manoa is engaged in really a five-year plan right now, which is its startup or kickoff or launching plan. So as we come in toward the end of that five-year plan, we really got, you know, I was hired in 2011. We really launched as we were getting in 2012. So as we start entering into 2016 and 17, we are starting to put together some additional networking with our banking relationships and with a more integrated and collaborative model with our tribal council and its finance board, which is the board of the council, which handles a lot of the detailed financing investments for the tribal government. We are putting together a higher level strategy to look at this next 5 years, which will be self-sufficiency and a greater degree of growth in those 5 years. So we're kind of looking at this sort of in 5 year chunks as we move forward. So we are rapidly moving in that direction.
That's interesting. The other thing is when I talked about the kind of, if you were to go with somebody, what would you say were, I guess, the advantages of you guys? Have there also been kind of obstacles getting off the ground too for you guys, or has it been largely successful? What has been though?
I think anytime you start something up, it's a challenge. In terms of obstacles, our tribe has been really good. You know, our tribe is a very professional operation. So our tribal council never said, "Hey, Manoba Matson, here's a bunch of money. Go do what you think you can do." There's always accountability surrounding what we do. So our board, you know, we had to work hard to put together a long-term development plan. That plan studied global, regional, national, and local sort of trends in the economy of the world and locally and nationally. And we kind of picked through that and said, what of this makes sense to us, and where should we get started? Now, our investment criteria that we pull out of that really is a fairly straightforward approach. We are looking, you know, in terms of acquisitions, we're looking for companies that are well managed, that have been profitable and durably so through recessions, good times and bad, you know, and look like something that by buying them, we can add value to them as a tribe. We're looking for companies that are within the region, so I don't have to jump on a plane every time there's a problem. It's just a practical investment approach to get started with. We're not looking for turnaround situations or anything like that. We're not looking to invest with somebody and try to start something up, you know. The only startups that we've done are, for instance, with 7th Gen Architecture, Engineering, and Construction. But the reason we did that is because that falls under our strategic goal of capturing our tribal spend. Our tribe spends millions now buying products and services. And so where we can capture that spend and keep it local and within our tribal economy, you know, we can amplify that growth. So 7Gen Architecture and Engineering helps our tribe design many of the buildings and stuff that it builds, and construction is now going to help build those buildings. So it gives you an idea of our strategy.
Is there a plan to do even more of that as far as getting those services up with companies that are under your portfolio?
More of the capture.
Yeah.
Where we can. You can't capture everything. So if I listed like all the 100 things that the tribe buys, and, you know, or it'd be more than that. But if I identified the top 100, it would be out of control. So I'd narrow that down to maybe the top 10 or top 5 that makes sense. What we're looking for is how can we use the capture the tribal spend to capture as much spend as possible reasonably, become competitive in our own tribal market, so then we can start working with other tribes and work with a general market to be competitive. It's sort of a launching pad that we can use to build up a business. But outside of that, we really don't want to do startups. The tribal spend strategy gives us an opportunity to start up a company without as much risk as it would take to start up a lot of other companies.
Out in the regular market.
Yeah.
You'll know the clients.
Think about it. You know, who would have started up an architecture and engineering company during a recession? I guarantee you that no architecture and engineering company was started up during this past recession. In fact, a lot of them shut down. We could, because we oriented it around that spend. And as we're coming out of the recession, you know, we can focus on this growth again in the industry and in the market. And also, you know, we're focused on federal and state contracting as well.
So for the next 5 years, how much of the plan is most of the plan just to do acquisitions, or how much of it is to...
A lot of our focus is around acquisitions. So once we complete the acquisition we're working on now, we want to start, we're always looking at things in the pipeline, but we want to start looking at what our next acquisition will be. So buying an existing company that's well-managed and profitable, that's got good management in place, is what we're looking for. And we're looking for that in manufacturing, food production, and some other industries. But that is really our drive, primarily. But, you know, we may build some more gas stations near our casinos, you know, things like that may not necessarily fall within that acquisition strategy, but primarily we want to focus on acquisitions.
And is there a set goal for saying we want to be, you know, this valuable by this time, or is it more fluid than that?
We are, right now it's a little more fluid, but we are starting to work on a number and more of a focus in that area in this second five-year phase of growth.
Is it exciting for you now, being able to, you know, there probably was that 5 years where it was very much of just starting things up. Is it exciting for you now where you're at the point where you can just go out and look for those businesses and really, really get it, make it happen?
Well, it is. I mean, my strengths are, as a person, as a professional, my strengths have always been putting together a plan and a strategy and executing that strategy. So that's what we're doing. We're creating, we're planning, and we're driving this stuff forward. So that falls right in the things that I'm hardwired to do. So that's my sweet spot that I enjoy doing. I think as a tribe and as a community of people, this is very exciting for our tribe, because it is, you know, we're diversifying. We have businesses that we never had before. It's an exciting time. It's creating a great deal of opportunity for our people, our kids. It just doesn't get much better than that. What else could you ask for?
I imagine too, looking back, say, 10 years ago as compared to now, do you feel a lot more confident in the future?
Absolutely. Well, I feel very confident. I don't know if I've always been very confident in our tribe. Our tribe, you know, look, we have a great deal of financial success right now overall. But it's important to say we had a lot of sacrifices of our people back before there was any money anywhere. And so... we are really, the foundation of our work and our success is really those people and the sacrifices they made when there was no money, when there was a lot of obstacles, again, you know, with the federal government and even with society in terms of discrimination and things. I won't dive into that. But, you know, it's that's where our heritage and our values come from. And so, you know, you asked me earlier about obstacles. Sure, there were obstacles, but that preceded me. I mean, the things I deal with now are nothing compared to what our ancestors and stuff dealt with to build up our tribe to where it is today. You know, so we are always deeply thankful for them.
I imagine you always kind of have to think back to that.
Absolutely. That's what drives us. That's where our values come from. That's our heritage, and that is what drives the work we do.
Yeah. It's probably, I mean, the seven generations thing, probably seven generations ago, you probably, yeah. There were all those obstacles. Now you're...
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can see that approach, that value base, how it has spanned here from the past and how it can project forward.